It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. We are now into our Bible study segment, and Connie Stanfill is back as our teacher. Hey, Connie.
Oh, hello.
Well, I'm glad you're back because today's lesson is titled, Yet I Will Rejoice in the Lord. And we're doing Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. So three very powerful verses. What will we be learning about today?
Well, this is kind of the summary statement of what the prophet has learned throughout this short three-chapter book. And bottom line is, he has come from a place of he's been doubting maybe a little bit. He's been in terror. He's been uncertain about the future. He can tell bad things are happening, but he actually, through this interaction with God, through the revelation of the Lord, he's going to come to a place of trust and confidence and holding on to the Lord no matter what's going on around him. And that's a good word for us today, because the Lord never changes and we can hold on to him. I'm going to read just the two verses that we're going to be studying today, and this is Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. And they may be familiar because they're actually very beautiful words, and they're ones people have always held on to in difficult times. Prophet writes, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And so what Habakkuk has just described is a land devastated by warfare, and how there's no crops, there's no animals, there's no hope of food. Everything is desolate, and that can be a human experience in so many different ways. It doesn't even have to be just in physical things, but sometimes it can be emotional pain or just relational pain. Just all kinds of things can happen in our lives where we really feel like we are in a desert place where we're lacking what we need. And so this is the place that Habakkuk is writing about. He's saying that even though there's not the usual things that you'd expect that would be blessings, then he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Someone in the world might say, that's a weird way to look at things. Why would you be, you know, taking joy in God when you have nothing? And we're going to be looking into that today. So I just want to remind us again that Habakkuk the prophet, from what God had prophesied and from what the other prophets had said, knew that terrible times were coming on Judah. When the Babylonians came and overran the country and destroyed Jerusalem, it was going to be really, really terrible. And so I'm going to read just part of a portion of Jeremiah 5, 15 to 17. And Jeremiah is definitely a prophet who lived through this devastation. In these verses, the prophet writes, behold, I'm bringing against you a nation from afar, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. It is an enduring nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty warriors. They shall eat up your harvest and your food. They shall eat up your sons and your daughters. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees, your fortified cities in which you trust. They shall beat down with the sword. And so the words are very similar to what the prophet Habakkuk is writing. And so it's again talking again about kind of that scorched earth appearance. And so, again, warfare is always awful, but this is, the Habakkuk knows it's going to be a terrible time. But the important word here is in verse 18 is when he writes, yet. So even though it looks hopeless, it's terrible, who knows where food's going to be coming from, the prophet writes, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And so, what an incredible thought. He's not looking at his circumstances, he's looking to the Lord. And so truly, that's the hope for any of us when we're going through hard times, or actually all times. Other places in the Psalms, it talks similarly about looking to the Lord. And so I'm going to read Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. And so again, it's that idea of God saving. And the children of Israel in the Old Testament knew God saved them when he delivered them from Egypt and took them out of bondage. And we as believers in the New Testament know that Jesus Christ is our salvation. And so no matter what's going on in our life, we look to the Lord and we can say, okay, this is difficult, but I have the Lord. We have the promise of the presence of Jesus with us. Psalm 25:5 is similar. It says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and you I wait all the day. And then we also get the idea that when we look to the Lord and we trust in His salvation, it brings us to a point of joy or rejoicing. And so it's not the happiness that comes because circumstances are all the way we want them to be. It's the joy because we know the Lord and we know His promises are sure and that He will make it all right in the end. And so Psalm 68 verse 3 says, "But the righteous shall be glad, they shall exult before God, they shall be jubilant with joy." When we talk about that kind of joy and remembering the Lord, again, the prophet Jeremiah wrote some beautiful verses which you probably know and have sung, and that's in Lamentations. And I'm going to read Lamentations verses 3, 21 to 23. And the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And so here Jeremiah again, who went through the difficult times of this Babylonian conquest, remembers the Lord and His faithfulness, and that gives him joy. There's another place in the Bible where it talks about the joy of the Lord, and we sing that sometimes, and you may be familiar with it. But this is in Nehemiah, and it's chapter 8, verse 10 or so. And what the setting is the children of Israel have come back from exile. This is after, you know, it's almost 100 years later, and they're trying to rebuild Jerusalem, and they find the books of the law, and they read the words of God, and they think, oh, we have so not done what God wants us to do. And they're weeping and they're mourning. But Nehemiah and the priest Ezra and the leaders all saying, don't weep. And what they reassure them is that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so it's a beautiful picture of when everything else is falling apart and there's nothing that seems to be right, we look to God. We have His promises. We have His presence. We have His peace. And so that's a beautiful thing in any situation. But these words in Habakkuk, I think, are so good to hold on to in anything we might be going through in our life that's difficult.
You know, and many women around the table, Connie, might be going through some difficult times right now, and we just need to remember that happiness and joy are two very different things, aren't they?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Connie, and I know tomorrow we're going to be wrapping up this wonderful study on Habakkuk, but if you're looking for the notes for today, this one is titled, "Yet I Will Rejoice in the Lord," and it's from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 18, and just those two verses there, we're going to be looking at that a little bit more in the notes section, so we recommend that you download those and do the Bible study that comes with this. All right, we're going to leave it here, and we will be right back.